Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. All right, so with no further ado, let's begin this morning. We're going to begin by reading our memory verse here this morning, and let me get to it on my tablet. And if you've got your Bibles out before we do that, you can go ahead and find Ephesians chapter 4. It's on your handout as well if you've already got that pulled up this morning. So we're going to, again, I know I keep saying this, but this entire section that we've been talking about, verses 7 through 16 is really one long, or really two sentences that encapsulate one long singular point that Paul's trying to make. And so I know we keep breaking it down in little pieces, but man, I tell you, as I was studying this week, it was really hard to get everything in one message. Obviously, beginning of the week, I was planning on all of us being here in person, and so I just knew that in order for us to kind of tap into everything that Paul's saying, we just really needed to break this section down even further. And so today, instead of what I originally planned was looking at verses 11 through 16, we're going to break that in half and look at 11 through 13 today, and then 14 through 16 next week. And I'll explain how all of that works today, because Paul is, again, trying to make one singular idea in these two sentences, okay? But they it all flows together, all right? So let's go over our memory verse, then we'll read our passage, and then we'll pray. That's probably appropriate, right? We'll pray, and then we will jump right into Ephesians chapter 4. All right, here we go. Lamentations. Here's our memory verse. Lamentations 3, 22, and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, which, as we learned last week from our kids, means never ends. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. All right, so let's read our verses this morning and pray, and then we'll jump right in. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, you'll notice if you're reading in your Bibles, there is a comma there, and the idea continues. But again, just for our sake, so that we can talk about it more fully, we're gonna stop right there this morning. So in this passage, Paul is really, he's really doing several things. He starts off by giving a list of titles or positions, and then he talks about what their role is, what their function is, I should say. Then he gives us some more specifics about what that function looks like, or what that function is supposed to accomplish. And then in verse 14, he talks about the purpose, like why Jesus gives these functions to the church. All right, so we're going to stop with just the first two. We're going to talk a little bit about the functions, what their purpose is, and how that fleshes out in real life. And then next week, we'll come back and talk about the purpose and where that ultimately leads. All right, so let's start in verse number 11. The first verb there that we see is he gave. That means Jesus gave. That means the one who redeems us, the one who died on the cross and rose again, the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. He gave gifts to the church, just like he gave gifts to you and to me. So last week we saw that Jesus gives gifts to all of his followers, to all people. He gives us specific areas of ministry. So last week we saw in a more universal sense that Jesus gives. This week we're going to narrow that focus. Paul narrows that focus a little bit and shows us that Jesus gives gifts specifically to the church as well. All right? And so then he lists five different gifts. So Jesus, the Jesus who died on the cross, rose again, conquered death, hell, and the grave for us, has given the church five specific roles. All right, so let's just talk, because I know you're going to have a question. These roles aren't necessarily the main point of the passage, so to speak. Like trying to figure out the exact nature of all of these roles is not the main point of the passage, but I do want to give those to you for a minute. Now, because I know some of you are going to ask. All right, so here we go. So Paul says he gave apostles. Now, apostles are people who specifically saw the risen Christ. All right? So let me ask you a question today. Has anybody alive today seen the risen Christ? The answer is obviously no, right? No. So Paul is specifically speaking about people like himself who saw the risen Christ, the disciples, the 12 disciples, well, minus Judas, so the 11, plus Paul, those who saw the risen Christ, these were the earliest, most significant leaders in the church. But then Paul lists another group, prophets. Now, when we hear prophets, we often think of either Old Testament prophets or people today who say, and man, I have heard more of this lately than I have in a very, very long time. People are talking about today having prophetic visions and having prophecies from the Lord, which I think is interesting on one hand, and we don't have time to go into all of that today, but when Paul talks about, I only bring that up to say, when Paul talks about prophets here today, he's not talking about Old Testament prophets, and I'm not sure he's talking about what these people today are talking about. Rather, he's talking about people who have a relevant message for an individual or for a church. Now, let me caveat that by saying a relevant message for an individual or the church that specifically centers on their edification, their building up, their growing closer to Jesus, and is specifically centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right? And so when Paul uses prophet, that's what he means. The third group, evangelists, really quickly. Evangelist refers to those specifically gifted by God that to travel from place to place and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, when he talks about shepherds and teachers, shepherds and teachers, shepherds is also translated pastors. So in your Bible, it may say pastors. And when Paul uses this term, he is specifically talking about leaders within the faith community that have been charged with authority and the ability for the well-being, to take care of, or to see after, I should say, that's a better way to say it, to see after the well-being of their flock, right? And so that's very much part of my role as your pastor. But then he puts this fifth group, which is teachers. Now, teachers and pastors are very closely together, and there is a sense in which all of these groups deal with teaching, right? The apostles deal with teaching, the prophets deal with teaching, the evangelists deal with teaching. But Paul connects these two groups, shepherds and teachers, together with and. So it's where the other ones are comma, it's shepherds and teachers. And so if there is a difference between shepherds and teachers, or if we're supposed to understand those differently, it would be that teachers, while they may not be gifted in administration, and they may not be as versed in care ministry, they are specifically or uniquely gifted and therefore responsible for the instruction of the church in the Christian message and doctrine. So in teaching and doctrine, right? In exegeting the scriptures is what we would call that today. And so those are the five groups. Now, I want to take a pause before we go any further because we need to hear this morning. This list may not encompass how you feel gifted this morning. That's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. Because this list is not necessarily meant to be exhaustive of all the gifts that all believers have that are useful for the church. Okay? This isn't all gifts. All right? Secondly, we need to pause to realize this is not an exhaustive list that is representative of all believers over all time that are given to the church. Rather, these are just specific leadership positions within the church. Therefore, if you do feel like you have one of these gifts, again, it is, like we said last week, not a point of pride either, because Jesus gave it to us. We didn't make it. We didn't take it. You didn't take it. I didn't take it. We didn't get it. Jesus gave it to us. All right? So, it's not an exhaustive list, so you shouldn't feel defeated if you don't feel like you fit on this list, and you shouldn't feel pride if you do feel like you fit on this list. Instead of, what we should see is these are really positions or roles as much as they are gifts or giftings. All right? Well, so this leads us to our first question. If you're following along on your outline, you should see that I've got some questions listed on there. This leads to our first question. Here's our first question. What are these roles or giftings supposed to do in or for our church? So if we have these giftings, obviously not apostles, because apostles is specifically referencing people who saw the risen Jesus. Prophets, potentially. Evangelists, potentially. Shepherds or pastors, yeah. Teachers, yeah. So like, how did these groups, how did these functions that Jesus, how did these play into the life of the church? Well, Paul thankfully gives us the answer starting in verse number 12. And here's what he says. He says, these roles, listen to me, these roles, their function is to equip the saints. Did you hear me? Their function is to equip the saints. So you take those five roles or positions or giftings of the church, and they are to equip the saints. Now that word equip is an interesting word. It means to make someone completely adequate or sufficient for something. So listen to me. Thus it is the responsibility of those gifted as a prophet, teacher, evangelist, shepherd, and those that were apostles, it is their responsibility to make sure that followers of Jesus are completely sufficient. Right? That's their job. That's my job as your pastor. That's Pastor Jacob's job. Any pastor, any person who claims to be a pastor, their role, their job, their duty, their function is to make those under their care completely sufficient. Well, that leads us to another question, right? That leads us to the question of what are these positions or roles supposed to make you and every follower of Jesus completely sufficient at? Right? What are they supposed to make? How am I supposed to make you completely sufficient? I mean, if Paul could have put a period there. Paul could have said, here's the roles, here's their job, to equip the saints, period. And it would have been a complete sentence and we would be moving on. But Paul doesn't. Paul puts a comma because now he's going to explain how, or he's going to flesh that out in more detail of what it means to equip the saints. Here's what he says. He gives us three ideas. Number one, how are these leadership positions in the church, these giftings of the church, supposed to equip the saints? Number one, they're supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. All right? So let me put it in context of me. My job, church leadership's job, is to equip you to use your area of ministry to the best of your ability. So last week we saw that every follower of Jesus, God is gifted with something. He's given gifts, which we saw last week is probably better understood as areas of ministry, right? Areas of ministry. And so Jesus has given gifts to all of us, which are our areas of ministry. And so my job, church leadership's job, is then to tap in to your area of ministry and to equip you, to help you, to train you, to challenge you, so that you can use your area of ministry to the best of your ability in your area of influence. So think about it like this. Here's your area of influence. Here's your sphere of operation. And God has uniquely positioned you there with your specific gift mix, with your specific ability, with your specific ministry, because God knew there were people in your area that were going to need you in their life. And these five positions, my job specifically, Pastor Jacob's job, is to help you be the best you can be in your area of influence, using your area of ministry that Christ has given you, right? So Paul says that the duty of these functions is to help you do the work of the ministry. Secondly, Paul says, for the building up of the body of Christ. I love this phrase, building up. That phrase there, literally, it's two words. It's a compound noun made up of two separate nouns. Well, a noun and then kind of a verbal phrase. But anyway, I digress. Here we go. So the two-part word means home built. Home built. Think of it as DIY, do it yourself, right? That's what it means, home built. The way Paul's using it in more colloquial term would be construction. So Paul is saying that these five positions or roles or gifting, their function is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the construction of the body of Christ. All right, for the construction, the continued construction of the body of Christ. Because he says, not to build up, but building up, meaning there's continual nature. That means there's movement. That means you're not supposed to stop, but this is supposed to be an ongoing thing. All right? So it is our job, my job, because I fit into this group, is to equip you for your area of ministry, in your area of influence, so that you can continually construct the body of Christ. That means other people around you. That means you should be helping construct other people into the image of Jesus, and other people should be helping you look more like Jesus. So I've got it down here again, that same little sentence. Church leadership's role, church leadership's job, my job, is to equip you to use your area of ministry to the best of your ability for the continued construction of God's people. All right? So we've seen the five positions. We've seen their function to equip the saints. We've seen the duty that comes out of that for the work of the ministry. We've seen the direction for the building up of the body of Christ. It's not just for your sake, so that you can get glory and accolades, or so that somebody else can. That's not for their own benefit or for their own self-preservation, but it's specifically for the building up of the church, for the construction of other saints. That's the direction. And then lastly, Paul says, he gives us an idea of how long we're supposed to do this, right? We're supposed to construct the body of Christ for just a little while? No, look what he says. Until we all attain. Until we all attain. That word attain there means to achieve. Until we all achieve. And then Paul's going to give us some descriptors for what that achievement looks like. He says, to the unity of faith, that's oneness. So until we all achieve oneness. To the knowledge of the Son of God, that represents knowledge, knowing. To mature manhood or womanhood, that equals wisdom. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that equals Christ-likeness. So you have these roles, these five roles, and then you have their function to equip the saints. Then you have the duty, like what they're pointed at for the work of the ministry. Let's define that. That means for the building of the body of Christ. And how long are we supposed to do this? Until we all attain oneness, knowledge, wisdom, and Christ-likeness. So let me ask you a question. Does that mean there should ever be a point at which these five roles stop doing their job or that you as a believer in the church stop doing what God's called you to do using your area of ministry and your area of influence? And the answer is no. Because not until heaven will we attain all of these things in perfection. So church leadership's role, church leadership's job, my job, is to equip you to use your area of ministry to the best of your ability for the continued construction of God's people until we are all mature. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a long way to go before I'm mature. And I know some of you well enough to know that you've got a long way to go as well. But that's why we can't give up. That's why we've got to keep going. That's why we've got to keep pressing on. And we've got to keep doing our ministry and our area of influence around the people that God's called us to be around. Because those are the people that God knew we were going to be around. And He knew that they were going to need us in their life. So let's recap really quickly before we go on to our application this morning. All right. So we've got the roles. We've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherd pastors, and teachers. We've got their function. Their function is to equip the saints, right? We've got the duty that comes along with that for the work of the ministry. Then we've got the direction for the building up of the body of Christ. And then we've got the duration until we all achieve or attain maturity. All right, so let's apply this to our lives. And I think this passage today really clearly, and maybe more so than any passage in the Bible, gives us a clear understanding of the role of church leadership and of church members, if I could put it in those modern day terms. I know Paul doesn't use those terms in this passage, but that's what he's pointing at here today. Gives us a clear understanding of the role of church leadership and a clear understanding of the role of church members. All right, so I want to talk about church leadership first. Right, and so this is me, this is Pastor Jacob, this is anybody in church in a leadership position, right? Here's a couple takeaways. Number one, church leadership should always be helping you to become more sufficient in your area of ministry. Now look, I don't know what your area of ministry is. I don't know what your gifting is. You know that, or I hope you know that, and God knows that. If you don't know that, I think one of our challenges, I think last week even, was to pray about it and ask God to make that more clearly. If you haven't done that, let me encourage you to do that, because you'll be more fulfilled in your life. You'll be more useful in the kingdom, and God can use you to reach people that nobody else can, right? So again, our role as church leaders is to be helping you become more sufficient in your area of ministry. Number two, church leadership should continue to do that until we are all mature, right? So church leadership may change. Different people may fill different roles at different times. But the goal of all of church leadership as a whole is to not give up trying to make people mature in Christ. Look, friends, if I'm doing anything else but that, I am failing at what God's called me to do, and I am not achieving what God's called me to achieve. If I'm not helping you become more mature, if I'm helping something else, then I'm missing the mark. And so is anyone in church leadership. Anyone in church leadership. Our goal should be to help you become mature in your area of ministry and your area of service. So, what does that look like? Sometimes that may be challenging you with Scripture. Sometimes that may be pushing you further in your walk with Christ. Some of us are who grew up in church, we might have understood this as the preacher stepped on my toes today, right? Sometimes that needs to happen in our life. Calling you to prayer. It may be challenging your mind to think differently about an issue. It may be pleading with you to repent of sin. It may be putting an arm around you and walking through a difficult situation with you. It may be something other than what I just listed. But those are just some areas that came to my mind this week. of how we as pastors, how we as church leaders should be helping you become more sufficient in your area of ministry so we can all attain maturity. Now, let's talk about church members' role or their responsibility. A couple things came to mind. Number one, your responsibility, friends, is to do the work of the ministry. Right? To do the work of the ministry. You have to do, listen to me, I love you, but I want you to hear exactly what I'm saying this morning. You are the only one who can do your ministry in your area of influence. I can't do it for you, and neither can Pastor Jacob. Neither can Pastor Joe. Neither can any pastor. No pastor is called to do your area of ministry for you. Right? We just saw my role, our role as church leaders is to equip you to do your area of ministry. I can't do it for you. That's not my job. That's not what God's called me to do. That's not my role. That's not my function. That's yours. You have an area of ministry just like I do. I've got to do mine and you have to do yours. And we can't wait on each other to do the other person's. Like, you can't do mine and I can't do yours. You have to do the work of the ministry in your area of influence. You have to do your work of the ministry in your area of influence. It's not my job. It's not Pastor Jacob's job. Not Pastor Joe's job. Not any pastor's job. It's your job. Here's the other thing. You must build up the church as well. I think oftentimes in churches in the past that I've been a part of, these two things have been grossly misrepresented. Oftentimes, if the church doesn't grow, if ministry's not going on, well, it must be the pastor's fault because the pastor's not ministering to me, is what I've often heard. Or at previous churches, well, Pastor, why didn't you know about this and that? So-and-so came to see me, and so-and-so came to see me in the hospital, and so-and-so called, and it took you 5 days to call. Well, a lot of times it's because we didn't know. hard to call somebody when you don't know what's going on, right? But I always viewed that differently than those people. And I still to this day do. Because see, I count it a joy and a privilege when and that we're succeeding in the biblical model of ministry when our deacons or when you as church members say, hey, have you heard about so-and-so? They're in the hospital. You know what that tells me? That you are invested in their life and you are doing your ministry in your area of influence. And so I'm not mad. I'm not taken aback when somebody says, hey, so-and-so's in the hospital. Hey, I just want to let you know, you may not have heard, but this has happened in this person's life. Man, that is exactly what Paul is talking about here, because it is not only my job to do my ministry to help build you up, but it is your role to help construct each other as well. I want to remind you of a story in the Old Testament really quickly. Nehemiah. It's in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a servant. He was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, I believe, if memory serves me correct. And long story short, the king of Persia allows Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city walls. And in that story, Nehemiah, they're rebuilding city walls. And you know how they rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? In an unprecedented amount of time. Like it's crazy how fast they do it. You know one of the reasons that they rebuilt the wall so fast? Is because Nehemiah asked the people to rebuild the section of the wall that was directly in front of their house. So guess what happened? If you slacked off and you were a slacker, your house and your family's dwelling was the one that was going to be attacked first. And so people quickly built their section of the wall, and therefore everybody built the wall. And therefore the wall was completed in an unprecedented amount of time. In some way, as we think of all of us constructing the body of Christ or continually constructing the body of Christ, that's the image we need to have in our minds. Because see, there's a section of the wall in the world that only you can construct. There's a section of the body of Christ that is yours. There's a section in your area of influence that is solely yours. And you are the only one who can build up that section because you are the one that God has called to do it. I can't do it. Only you can do it. And so frankly, friends, if our church is going to grow, and I understand that it's just me and Tucker in the building today, but there are a lot of you online, and we pray in the days ahead that there are a lot more in the building and online, right? But here's the point. Whether we're in person, whether we're virtual or whatever, it's going to take all of us, listen to me, all of us doing the work of the ministry and building up our area of influence, because there are specific spaces that God has called only us to minister and to work in. And if you don't do it, there's a hole in the wall. And if I don't do mine, there's a hole in the wall. And look, there ain't gonna be no hole in my end of the wall. And I hope you have the same attitude as well, because only you can do it, right? So lastly, I think one other thing we can take home from this is don't give up. Don't give up. Listen, we live in some chaotic and crazy times, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know what's going to happen in the next month. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where we're headed. I don't have no prophetic vision or anything like that. But I do know what God's called us to do here today. He's called me to equip you to be sufficient in your area of ministry, in your circle of influence, so that we all can continually construct the body of Christ until we are all mature. And I need to be more mature, and I know you do as well. So you know what? We can't give up. We've got to keep on going. All right, friends, so that's Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Next week, we'll come back and pick up in verse 14 and look at verses 14 through 16. And we're going to look at the big question. And I'm telling you, you want to be back next week. It is going to be challenging. And I'm excited already about next week as we look at why God gave these roles to the church for these functions to build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry until we all mature. He tells us why, and you won't want to miss that next week. All right, so let's pray, and then we're gonna cut the live feed and the recording, and then we will catch all of you next week. All right, so pray with me. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all that you are doing in our hearts and lives each and every day. Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Lord. Thank you that you love us, that you care for us. And thank you that you are still working in the world, even though there's chaos and even though there's all kind of craziness going on and even though there's all kind of just uncertainty. Lord, you are still sovereign. You are still on the throne and nothing has surprised you. And in fact, you are still calling us amidst all of this craziness. You are still calling us to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain maturity. And Lord, that is our goal, and that is our plan, and that's exactly what we're going to do this week. Lord, help us to do that this week. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, before we get off, really quickly, don't forget that we'll be back doing live stream next week. Same time at 11, and don't forget that if you want the notes, you can find them on the VGBC app. Even if you don't want the notes, I'd encourage you to get the app so that you can stay up to date with all of our stuff on Facebook and YouTube, and you can have the handouts as well. All right, so before we leave today, we're going to read our little closing statement. Tucker, you want to read it with me? Come on, right down here. Here you go, Tucker. All right, here we go. Let's read it together. Let's move ourselves and others toward Christ as we impact our area of influence this week. All right, friends, we love y'all. Y'all have a great rest of the week, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.